Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Chetta Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. Well, it was a busy weekend from an Eagles news standpoint. There's leaks, there's reports, there's just all sorts of stuff. There's so many different storylines to digest. And we'll do more of that with our next guest, who will weigh in on all of it. And Elliott Shore Parks, as always, is brought to us by your Tri-State Toyota dealers, proud partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. And Elliott joins us on the Swartz-Culleton guest line. If you're injured at work, get justice. Call Swartz-Culleton at 800-JUSTICE. Well, Elliott, as Thanksgiving weekends go with no Eagles game, there was a lot of news, my man, a lot of Eagles news.
Yeah, I mean, look, I know we say it all the time, but there just truly is never a boring day with this team, for better or worse. And I think this past weekend certainly proved that.
Incredible. I mean, we got the news of Peters to right guard, Lane Johnson out for the year, Hurts getting first-team reps in practice. Jeff McClain's report that Lurie did not attend the Eagles-Browns game in part because he's frustrated with the team. All right, so a lot. Let's just start with this and tonight, and then we'll go to some of the other stuff. Do you think Carson, if he struggles tonight, will get benched this evening?
Yes, I do. And I think it's really just a matter of when, not if. And I should also say that if they put Hurts in, even if it's just for a series or two, and Carson is not on the field and Hurts is just straight up playing quarterback, even if they put Wentz back in, that's still a benching. I mean, this is not something they would be doing if Carson was playing at a high level. It's not something they wouldn't be doing. It's not something they'd be doing if they weren't intrigued by Hurts. I mean, the fact that they are taking first team reps away from Carson is just the beginning of it. I mean, it's basically the beginning of the benching. So it is going to happen. It's just a matter of when.
Here's what I don't understand. This might be much ado about nothing, because Saturday, Doug said that Hurts was not getting any more reps than usual, correct? Was that Doug just protecting the game plan? Or is he being honest and we're just wishful thinking from fans?
I think that is just Doug protecting the game plan. I think Doug is – one of the reasons I think Doug gets in trouble with what he says through the media sometimes is he tries to, you know, play coy or you know, protect the game plan maybe more than he has to. But, yeah, I do think that's just part of the game plan. And I do think you're going to see Hurts tonight. I mean, unless this offense has three touchdowns in the first three drives, which I think we all know is not going to happen. Like, Hurts will be out there tonight in a larger role than he has been in the previous weeks.
You watched Jalen Hurts play more than any of us did because you watched camp and a lot of it. What were your takeaways from training camp and what do you expect tonight?
My top takeaway from watching Jalen Hurts in training camp was he's a playmaker and he's going to put a lot of stress on the defense with how he does things. He operates very quickly, whether it's getting the ball out quickly, whether it's taking strikes down the field or running the ball. He very rarely sits back in that pocket for very long. I think he has a really strong arm. Some of the best deep balls that were thrown in camp were thrown by him, and he has a strong arm. He can definitely squeeze it into tight windows. Now, I think the best look I got of Hurts as a passer was on the final day of training camp at Lincoln Financial Field. He threw the ball 38 times, and that's where you really got to see that when it comes to him having to, you know, run the offense on a consistent basis, like series after series after series, then you do see where he starts to look like a rookie. I think he's a bit undersized, you know, compared to what the Eagles have had at quarterback. He's only 6'1". It feels like the Eagles haven't had a quarterback, you know, under 6'5" in forever. So he looks small in the pocket, but he's a playmaker. I mean, he's going to be a problem for that Seattle defense.
So it sounds like you expect him to succeed tonight.
Yeah, I do. I mean, look, this is a guy that has never failed at any level of high-level football he's played, right? I mean, he played in it was some of the best high school football in Texas. He played well. He went to Alabama. He went to Oklahoma. Like, he is someone that succeeds. And we've seen it even in his college career.
He got benched.
Right. He got benched one time. I know people bring that up all the time. But on the flip side of that, he came in as the backup at one point and helped win the SEC championship game for them. So he has far more success in his career than he does failure. Mm-hmm. And look, we talk every week about this game. I think the biggest issue is the quarterback. So I think once you get even average level quarterback play in there, I think Hurts can give you that. I think this team's going to look much better.
All right, Elliot Shore Parks with us. Elliot, let's broaden this out to some other issues. Let's start with Jason Peters, right guard. If he's healthy enough to play tonight, right guard, what is your guess of what happened behind the scenes that led to the Philadelphia Eagles announcing that Jason Peters finally will be the right guard?
I think that it was two things. I do believe that you're starting to see this team make moves with the eye on 2021, and that's part of wanting to get Jordan Mailata out there. But I do think Lane Johnson going out for the year played an impact. I think they like having that experience over there on the right side now that Lane is not going to be there. So that was part of it. But, you know, you mentioned training camp in your last question. I did get to see Jason Peters in training camp, but what I didn't see was a lot of him playing right guard. I mean, I probably saw him take 15, 20 snaps all camp at the position. So he did not have a lot of experience there. Wow. He didn't practice a lot in training camp. He was moved to left tackle towards the end there. So, I think this is definitely a question mark for sure going into the game.
Would Peters be at right guard if Nate Herbig was totally healthy?
Yes, I think so. They seem to have kind of soured on Nate Herbig, which I don't get. I thought he played well early in the year, but mm-hmm. Doug basically said flat out this week that Herbig is not playing because of injury. He's not out there because they like other guys better. So I do think he would be out there even if Herbig wasn't hurt.
Does the Matt Patricia firing in Detroit change the atmosphere at NovaCare?
It's a good question. You know, you mentioned the report this week that Jeffrey Lurie didn't go to Cleveland and that he left practice out of disgust. You know, my top takeaway from that, at least instantly, was Doug's gone. Like, I don't see how Doug survives this offseason. It's possible, I guess. I mean, who knows with the final six games, but you know, you look at last year, and I kind of think this season was the extra year that Lurie gave Doug. Like, I think last mm-hmm. offseason when he got rid of all the coaches around him, he picked them for him, he was upset with the offense. Like, this was the year that he gave Doug the kind of grace year for winning the Super Bowl. So, look, anything's possible, but I think the chances of Doug being back in 2021 are looking pretty slim.
Elliot, I had the same first reaction on the Lurie not going to the Cleveland game, that it's really bad reflection on Doug. But why Doug more than Howie with your assertion there?
Well, I don't know if Howie's going to be back, to be fair. So, I just think that the reason that reflected poorly on Doug is two. First of all, Lurie has said they have to have a top five offense to be a Super Bowl contender. And needless to say, they're not anywhere close to that. And they weren't anywhere close to that last year. And the fact that he left practice in disgust, according to the report, I mean, think how bad practice would have to be yeah. for it to look disgusting and him for need to leave, right? So yeah. I think that part of the reason there's a chance that Doug is gone but Howie is not is Lurie could look and say, you know, I didn't really believe in Doug in 2016 when I hired him, frankly. I didn't believe in him last offseason. So, you know, maybe a change of coach is the right thing to do, and he gives Howie some more time. But I think the more this season goes on, the more you are looking at the chance that both are gone.
Have you seen any signs of Doug, you know, wanting to be cut, so to speak? You know, some have speculated that he wouldn't be totally unhappy with the change of scenery.
Yeah, well, Joe, you mentioned at the top that a lot is going on with this team. The fact that that report came out and it's not even really mentioned right. that Doug might not mind getting fired speaks how crazy these past few days have been. You know, I think sometimes when you look at Doug in his press conferences, and again, we don't get to be around him in person this year, which of all the years, you know, this is not the year to not have that kind of access. But, you know, just in the Zoom calls and stuff like that, he just seems like he knows this is over. Like, he's not that he's resigned to the fact, but I think personally he knows he's stuck with a quarterback that it's not going to work, and it's just a matter of time at this point until either he's fired or, I mean, they're probably not going to move on from Carson, but I think a lot of Doug's frustrations come from the fact that he can't fix this offense with this quarterback.
Amazing. Ellie, do you think the Eagles have a reasonable chance to win the game tonight, or is it a long shot?
No. They have almost no chance. I mean, the only chance they have is that anything can happen that you could make for any game at any sport at any level. But, I mean, outside of that, there's nothing to make you think this Eagles team can beat the Seahawks. I mean, the Seahawks have scored over 30 points seven times this year. The Eagles are one of only two teams that have not topped 30 points in any game this year. They never beat Russell Wilson. There's just – anything's possible, but I don't think they have almost any chance tonight.
All right, Elliot, I got to tell you, I don't much disagree. I give him a little bit more of a chance, but only a very, very little bit more than you. Elliot, again, everyone can follow Elliot's work, as always, at 94WIP.com/GoBirds. Elliot, one final question. I'll just ask you because it's something that actually spurred the start of our show today. I'm excited to see Wench bench because it's a path. One, because I'm tired of watching the guy play. Two, because it's a pathway to Hurts. People jumped on me when I said that. I mean, would you say you're excited to see that or not?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, this team has been painful to watch every week, right? We know what it's going to be. It's going to be a bad offense. It starts slow. They'll fall behind early, and then they'll make a bit of a comeback. Like, that's what this team has been for the last year and a half, and definitely at least this year. With Jalen Hurts, I don't know how he'll do. I think he'll do well. Who knows? But I just know this. Driving down to Lincoln Financial Field tonight, I'm excited about the possibility of there being something different happening. And I haven't been able to say that really any game this year.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Elliot, God bless you. Thank you, sir.
Yep, talk to you guys later.
Thanks.
Now, why don't you get mad at him when he says it? Why do you get mad at me when I say that?
We are mad at him. We just didn't – you didn't give us a chance to yell at him.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Lose it with him.
Well, you yell at him. Go for it. He's probably listening right now. What's your retort? He's out of line?
Yeah. out of line.
He's out of line to know that he can go to the link tonight to see something different?
It's out of line to get excited for someone's failure. It's out of line.
Yeah. But it's for the love of the Eagles. I mean, that's
something different. Something as bad or worse.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Come on.
Maybe not,
this
John.
This is a guy – Jalen Hurts – there was like a prerogative to get him involved, and the way that they got him involved was so simplistic. It just speaks to me that they didn't feel like they could do much more with him than they did, and now he's going to be thrust into action. I don't think it's going to look great.
Okay, we'll find out. Well, maybe.
But
we'll
it sounds like Elliot disagrees. Sounds like he thinks he's going to do well.
Well, he does.
Which is surprising to me.
Yeah, that surprised me too. 94WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast from the Tasty Cake Studio. So the phone, let's talk to Billy T in Princeton. What's up, Billy T?
Gentlemen, wow. I picked up on this a little bit earlier when you were talking about the Roy Jones-Mike Tyson fight. And, you know, I'm shocked to hear – well, I hope the Eagles do well tonight because I'm a true and true fan. But there was a caller that talked about the fight, and he was completely wrong. Well, not completely. This is an exhibition. Tyson's moving on. I just watched a little bit ago Tyson on YouTube give a 30-minute post-fight after 8 rounds.
Yep.
Talk. No way. He was not bruised up, beat up. I know a little bit about being in the ring. I'm gonna tell you, Tyson was in shape.
So you think Tyson's really gonna keep fighting?
Yep, yep.
And that's what he said. That's what he said after the fight. He said he's gonna fight.
Let me tell you, this is Rocky. This is Rocky Tyson.
Foreman was out for about 10 or 15 years and came back and won the title.
Let me give you some insight because I've been in the ring.
All right.
I've been in the ring. Jones was out of shape. If you take a look at where his hands were at the end of the fight, at my advanced stage, I could have got in if I was round one and he's round eight and given a good account of him and probably taken
come on,
him out.
Billy T versus Roy Jones. Are you kidding me? This is Roy Jones Jr.
You could have taken him out.
This is not Roy Jones Sr.
He fights guys, 8 rounds guys, and you come in guys, in the 8th round fresh?
He was so out of shape.
Yeah.
He was so out of shape.
He did look flabby. I mean, that's
I'm
the, yeah.
telling you. I know what I'm talking about. Like, I know about hitting and throwing a baseball.
All right.
Tyson was sharp. And when they were grabbing each other, Tyson was on in his ear telling them the next move. DraftKings is not in this to have one of these two guys get killed. This was a way to get Tyson back in it and to see what's going on.
And they made some bucks. All right, Billy T, give me who's got a shtick.
You know, I didn't get a chance to think about it because I'm working, but
I would
think quarterback from the Packers when he does his, you know,
discount,
champion.
Discount double check?
Yeah.
The belt.
Help you out.
All right, the belt. Yeah. Sure. All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
You know who also would have the belt? You remember who was a belt-wearing guy in Philadelphia sports? I'd say
yes, I do.
I'd say he had a shtick. All right, John, you know it. James, can you think of it?
A belt-wearing guy in Philadelphia.
Or at least he would walk around with a belt. Or an imaginary belt.
Yeah.
Come on, James. He was the people's champ.
I'm blanking.
Come on, James.
Really?
Dude, the people's champ. Who was the people's? Who was the self-proclaimed people's champ in Philadelphia sports 15 years ago?
T.O.? Did T.O. do that?
No.
His buddy. His wide receiver mate.
Oh, Freddie.
Freddie Mitchell.
I blocked Freddie out, man.
The people's champ. I mean, he did have a shtick. He really did. He really did.
Yep.
All right, let's go to David. David, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for calling, David.
Our pleasure.
Cool. So I wanted to bring up, if I can get at least 2 minutes on this, I wanted to bring up a very unique point that has not been mentioned yet on the show. With the Eagles, of course.
Sure.
The big thing is right now, if you look at a team like the Cleveland Browns from when we played them, if you look at the Tennessee Titans, if you look at a lot of these teams that are out there that actually have these excellent records, leading the division, so forth and so on, the big thing they have is a true running game. And I'm not talking about the regurgitated stuff that you're hearing about, let's run Sanders 25 times. What I am saying is, and I watched the game last week, they do not have a power running game to wear out the defensive line. This is a huge, huge issue right now for Rod, for the quarterback.
Yep.
Thank you. This is a huge issue because you're saying right now, hey, let's put in Jalen Hurts and see how he does. Here's the thing. Teams are putting in nickel and dime coverage and rushing that four because they know they can stop the running back because there's no power behind it. When you saw what happened to Boston Scott in the second quarter, he got hammered, didn't come back, and Sanders basically was getting stuffed at the line. They need a real power running game like what the San Francisco 49ers had last season, what the Rams. Say what you want, but the Rams have three running backs. It makes it much easier for Jared Goff to be able to throw the ball. And yesterday, when the Patriots, living up here in Massachusetts, when they won, they ran the ball. They have three options. We don't have that. Yeah. We need a power running game to wear out teams, especially going into the second half when they're making those adjustments. Because here's the thing. When they make those adjustments, this is why Carson Wentz is struggling. This is also why I truly believe Jalen Hurts is going to struggle. They're going to adapt very quickly without being able to have that type of game plan. That's
all
my
right.
opinion.
I got you. David, who's got a shtick?
Sure. I'm actually going to go with The Rock, with the people's eyebrow.
All right, The Rock. Sure, you got it.
Yeah, that's a good one.
John, his point right there. I've been conflicted on this year, but for the most part, I agree with them.
The good teams run the ball. The good teams run the ball with more than one play,
right,
too.
We've
been calling for this forever.
And
not just call more runs, but diversify the runs a little bit.
I agree, but how do you size it up with the fact that Miles Sanders' yard per carry average is outstanding? Like, if you just kept giving the ball to Miles Sanders more and more.
It's inexplicable that you wouldn't give it to him more.
So, what I'm getting at, though, is, like, it sounds like what our last caller was saying is not just that they need to run the ball more.
Okay, they run the ball in the first half, and then they stop in the second half. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, but he's
Doug
but the last
like
caller's
to run the ball.
But the last caller's talking about a style of running and a style of running back.
Well, I'm confused by he kept saying power run game. Does that mean power blocking schemes? Because that's like where you'll pull a guard and guy, it's man blocking instead of zone blocking in part. And teams should be able to do both. You know, the man blocking and the zone blocking, the load schemes, the powers, that stuff. We just don't. It's like when we do run a power play, it's the exception, not the rule. And it's like, hey, let's throw this out there to throw them off the scent of our inside zone because that's all we're going to run.
Yeah.
So we just have never fully incorporated the run game the way good teams do, and that's on Doug.
Well, I guess we can say we need the Eagles to go on the Pico power play. Right, Seltzer?
Pico! Yeah,
that'd be cool.
I just had to get that. I heard John refer to it as the power play. I'm like, you know what? Let's just go with it. The Eagles on the Pico!
The power play. It's where you double team at the point of attack and you pull the guard. Let me ask a question.
Pico power play football talk. If the Eagles have 11 guys on offense and the other team has 10 guys on defense, Eagles score? Or do they go 3-and-out? All right, James.
It's a penalty.
I know.
We'd line up wrong.
James,
and
I know
jump
you, got,
offside.
You got some NFL info in there. What do you got?
Yeah, so I don't know if you guys or if the listeners know that the Santa Clara, where the San Francisco 49ers play, had outlawed for professional sports to people coming into town without a 14-day quarantine, which obviously means teams couldn't come there to play games. So a statement from the San Francisco 49ers. The San Francisco 49ers have come to an agreement with the National Football League and the Arizona Cardinals, which allows the 49ers to host their Weeks 13 and 14 home games against the Buffalo Bills and Washington football team at State Farm Stadium in Arizona. And the statement goes on and whatnot. But they will
so San Fran, Arizona.
They're playing their home games in Arizona.
Well, that's funky, but they had to do something. And, you know, let's remember, tonight's Eagles game is the first Eagles game since earlier this year, you know, whatever it was, second home game or the third home game, whenever it was, with no fans again. So we're back to that. Eagles versus Rams thing, you know, no fans. Eagles versus Bengals, no fans. Might have been after the Bengals game they started getting people in there. I can't quite remember. But, yeah, back to no fans again. So it's what it is. Let's go to Derek, who's with us. Derek, you're on WIP.
What's up, guys?
Hi, Derek.
So you're saying if Carson comes out and has, like, the game of his life, right, then next week we right back to the same thing. But I feel like if he can't perform under these conditions, then the job ain't for him, because if he comes out and plays like crap, then he's going to put in Jalen Hurts, and he knows that. So he's got to come out and sling it.
I agree. I'm with you, man. Look, Derek, I'll tell you this. If I'm an executive, if I'm a boss, I'm a big – listen, you decide, not me. Meaning, if you go out there and play well, I have no decision to make. You're the quarterback. But if you don't, now the other guy's the quarterback, because you've made the decision that you're not good enough, because you're not showing it to me. That's how I would be. Like, it's your – hey, Carson, it's your ball until you prove it shouldn't be your ball. And if you do, don't look at me. Don't look at me, because you had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. That's how I would put it if I'm Doug.
And then it's like last year, he had all these no-name guys last year, and we rallied around him, and he got us in the playoffs. We, like, tipped our hat to him. And it's like now he got the same or a little bit more help than he had last year, and he ain't doing nothing with it. I just think he's just broken. That's just what I think.
Well, a lot of people think that. Derek, give me what you got. Who's got a shtick? Who or what?
Muhammad Ali. I'm the greatest.
It's a good answer right there. It's a really good answer. His whole presentation. Mm-hmm. I like that. 215-592-9494. Up ahead, we'll have a little revisit, because, of course, this, John, will be the first game the Eagles play since Doug's highly bizarre series of comments in that Wednesday press conference, I think it was last week, or Tuesday, whatever day it was. So the Doug press conference where he left open the door, very open, that there could be a quarterback change, until he said, no, Carson's my guy. But before he said that, there was a lot of door open. What exactly Doug said and how it could manifest in tonight's game, we'll get to that next. We'll rock all the calls all show. Joe to Cameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.